You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for October 2nd, 2020. And I got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking to the executive director of the Pregnancy Care Center in Grants Pass, John Mayer, and we're going to talk about their upcoming gala, their fundraising gala, a little different this year because of COVID. So we will get into all of that. This segment's going to be a little bit short, as most of the show is going to be devoted to our interview with John. So we're going to keep this a little bit short, but we got to talk about some of the obvious things. You know, when I went to bed last night, I thought, well, I'll probably have to, you know, fill a little time as I do. And as most of you know, that tends to end up talking about current events and politics. And I thought, well, we'll talk a little bit about the debate this week, which was crazy and awful. And and if anyone thinks that somebody won that debate, I'm here to dispel that myth. Nobody won that debate. Not Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, and definitely not America. That was awful. There was actually some good stuff in there, but it was, the whole thing was so distracting that it was hard to get anything out of it. You know, there was some decent substance mixed in there, but it was so chaotic that most people, I don't think, really got anything out of it. And most people probably turned it off after the first 20 minutes or so. In fact, we know that's true because the ratings were pretty low for that debate, and deservedly so. So I thought I'd be talking about that, and I actually would have gotten into it a little bit more about some of the things that actually did have some substance to them that were said. But then we got the news that the president and the first lady have gotten the coronavirus. They tested positive for COVID-19. And so that becomes a whole different conversation. And, you know, this could be a serious thing. You know, he's in his 70s. That puts him in a high-risk group. He's overweight. Technically, I think that I've read that they would consider him obese. I'm not always sure about the classifications they use for that kind of stuff, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. It puts him in another high-risk group. In fact, you know, if you look at a lot of the underlying conditions that have led to many of the deaths, being overweight or obese has been really one of the major drivers of the deaths in this. So, you know, it's not a good situation for our country. It doesn't matter what you think about the president. And believe me, some of you don't really, the gravity of this is lost on some people. And I don't necessarily mean, I say you, I'm talking the general public, you know, scrolling through social media and even watching TV this morning, watching the TV news this morning, the callousness and disregard for the American president. Let's put it this way. If it was a Democrat president, and again, I'm not trying to make this partisan, but there's nobody's hiding the fact that the media mostly favors the Democrat Party. And if you don't believe that, you're not paying attention. And again, I'm not making this a political statement, so to speak, but it's been hyper focused with this president, and right, in some cases, rightfully so. He is very polarizing. There's no doubt about it. But there's never been a time that I can remember in my 50 plus years on the earth where there's been such a callousness toward, not just toward the president. I mean, he brings a lot of it on himself. However, he is the president of the United States. And if he were to die, that's a pretty... It's a pretty tragic event, no matter who it is, no matter whether you like them, you don't like them. It makes big waves in the country that are in the current climate. Things, you know, really could get chaotic if something happened to the president. And again, regardless of what you think of him. But, you know, I'm seeing this whole array of reactions and you know, in some cases, glee. And I'm sorry, but if I'm your friend on Facebook and you're gleeful about this, just unfriend me now, you know, or other social medias. There's nothing gleeful about this. You can take some, you know, you can giggle a little because you think that he played it down and it's like, you know, that serves you right. But, you know, that's one thing when it's the guy next door. This is the president of the United States. He runs the country, so to speak. Now, you know, I don't put a whole lot into the power of the president. I see the president as a temporary placeholder, you know, where a lot of people are, you know, have a more emotional attachment to who the president happens to be. I don't really have that because it's a temporary position. But nonetheless, you know, this isn't the guy, you know, the guy down the street that, you know, that yelled at you for not wearing your mask or that, you know, that was unhappy, you know, about your dog coming on his property or whatever. You know, it's the president of the United States. So, you know, this is a serious thing. I don't say that because of celebrity. I don't know if you've listened to this show at all. You know, I don't care about celebrity one bit. I've made it very clear that, you know, I don't have enough time and, you know, to deal with important issues within my own extended family. Why I would waste any time on celebrity, I don't. But we're not talking about celebrity here. We're talking about, you know, the stability of our country. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how symptomatic that they are or that they aren't. You know, a lot of questions to be answered. But you know, let's be civil to one another and quit superimposing your beliefs or your feelings about the president on your fellow Americans. Just because somebody checked a box on a ballot one time doesn't make them evil, awful people that you think, you know, the president might be, or maybe you did previously. Maybe you thought President Obama was an evil, awful person. Quit transferring that onto the entire population. It's not cool and it's not right. And let's hope that the president recovers. And then if you don't like him, you can vote him out of office. But the little bit of glee I'm seeing saddens me. You know, it doesn't make me mad. It saddens me. And let's be better people than that. So, a lot better subject to talk to after the break. We'll be talking to the executive director of the Pregnancy Care Center in Grants Pass, John Mayer, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Rum River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
Welcome welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio from the Pregnancy Care Center in Grants Pass, John Mayer. John, you're the director, right?
That's right. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. We've had you in here before. I think it's been 2 years since you were here last, but we're here for the same reason. The gala is coming up, and it's going to be a little different this year. I'm going to have to move to online, obviously because of COVID restrictions and other things. But before we talk about the gala, let's, for our new listeners, kind of get a quick preface of who you are and what you guys do there at the Pregnancy Care Center.
Yeah, so I'm the executive director of the Pregnancy Care Center, as you mentioned, and you know, we do a lot at the Pregnancy Care Center, and it's really, I say we in the broader sense that this is thousands of people in our community, primarily the Christian community, that makes all of this possible. But the services and programs offered through Pregnancy Care Center all revolve around supporting life and supporting those moms and dads going through that fun but challenging road of parenthood. So we have four different programs and services. Did you want me to just kind of go through all?
Yeah, let's talk about those so people know. Again, we talked about this 2 years ago, but you know, listeners come and go, and let's let them know because it's a great resource. And I say that as someone, I have people close to me that have taken advantage of some of the resources you offer there. So I know firsthand that it's a great resource for our community. And so I want people to know, you know, what you do there, what you offer there, how much it costs to go there and to take advantage of those services. So let's hit all of that.
Yeah. So the cost, that one's easy. It's absolutely free to every single person who takes advantage of those services. Again, it's just provided for by the community. The fundraiser we're going to talk about is a part of that to be able to fund that. But basically, talking about Epic, I want to kind of talk about that first because it's really proactive in so many ways to even seeing women come through our medical center as patients. And what that is, it's actually abstinence-based education. So we get to go into the high schools and middle schools, and we're typically in about 15 in Jackson and Josephine County. That might be a little different this year based on the COVID restrictions and that so many are going through distance learning, but we have created a distance learning program so that they can take part in that. But basically, we're talking about healthy relationships, you know, healthy choices about their sexual activity and health, and how choosing to be sexually active can really impact them. You know, they have obviously that choice, but there are consequences that can come from that, including STDs, STIs. Those are very common among our young people who are choosing to engage in sexual activity, and of course, pregnancy. So that's our EPIC program, and we usually get the opportunity to speak to around over 2,000 students through that program. So it's an amazing opportunity to share with our young people and help them to just think through, okay, what is it I want to do in life? And how am I going to get there? And how are the decisions that I'm making today going to impact, you know, my ability to see my dreams fulfilled? If they do end up getting pregnant, the ladies out there, you know, we're there for them. And that's teens, but it's also adults all the way. You know, we even see some that are even their early 40s. But typically it's going to be around kind of early 20s is a lot of where, you know, at least that's a median range. But anywhere from, you know, honestly, 14, 15 to the 40s. And that's where we get to just provide support for them and help them really think through their decisions. Oftentimes, women coming to see us are thinking that abortion is their only option. And because the sudden realization of having a child to them is just unthinkable. It, you know, for various reasons, sometimes it's because it's going to interfere with their career or school plans. Sometimes it's because of pressure. Oftentimes there's other people, including maybe the father of the baby, who's pressuring bothering them to abort that baby. Sometimes it's just overwhelming to think about how to parent and that they're not prepared for that. It could be that they're, you know, have drug addictions. That's somewhat common. We do see homeless women as well. And so that creates other challenges and being able to successfully raise a child. So we just get to meet with them and, you know, help them kind of go through all that and figure out, okay, what are the major things that are keeping you from feeling like you can parent this child? Because we know that that baby, they're already there and they're a precious gift from God, no matter how they came about, you know, however, whatever choices were made to bring that baby into existence. And so, you know, and God did create us to, you know, to be able to rear and grow a child. And so it's just an incredible opportunity.
Well, I find it interesting before we go on, you mentioned kind of the age range and we forget sometimes that it's not always just the 16 or 17 year old girl. There's unplanned pregnancies at the entire, you know, the entire time a woman can have children, there can be unplanned pregnancies. In fact, I have a good friend of mine who has a wonderful young son. He's probably 8 or 9. But when he came along, they weren't planning on having any more kids. And so that's not the typical situation you think of. They're a married couple. They had other kids. But all of a sudden, here's a baby coming and they're feeling kind of old to be new parents. And so it reminds me that there's different challenges in different ages. I mean, a young woman I know that's a wonderful mother. She's married and has kids, but her first child was unplanned. But she wasn't, you know, she was an adult at the time. She wasn't a 16 or 17 year old girl. But again, in that situation, it was also unplanned. And so we forget sometimes that those, you know, that it's not just those 14, 15, 16 year old girls. It can be any woman at any time. Mm-hmm. And it's important, I think, that you have that resource there. I had one other thought about that too, before we get out of kind of the subject of choosing life. And obviously with you being the executive director of an organization such as this, I assume you're pro-life, which is why you do this. What would you say to the, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate because I hear this a lot and it frustrates me a little bit. And I think maybe you would have a little better answer than I do. We hear this argument when the pro-life versus pro-choice argument comes up, and not to get too political. This is one that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. We hear this idea of, well, you shouldn't be pro-life if you're not adopting children. And first of all, the first thing that comes to mind is that's one of the most ridiculous arguments I've heard, but I'm not good at articulating why. Can you help me with that a little bit? Because I have a suspicion you probably can.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that the idea behind that is, and this is a common misconception oftentimes, is that from the pro-abortion side, is that, you know, people who are pleading or whatever you want to call it with women to keep their child and not abort that baby, which of course I'm going to talk a little bit about adoption too if I get the opportunity.
Well, and that's where I'm going with this, because they say we have all of these kids in foster care and they're not being adopted, and to me they're two separate problems, because if I'm not mistaken, there's not a shortage of people trying to adopt babies. That doesn't solve the foster care problem. It's a problem we should deal with, absolutely, but they conflate the two together, and I think that's kind of where I was going with this.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, what I was saying, though, is just that they say that, you know, we don't care anything about the women themselves. We only care about that unborn child, and once we've convinced them to keep their baby, that we send them on their merry way and good luck, and they are doomed to failure, basically, is the idea behind it, and then that child might end up in foster care or something like that, which is, there's already so many children in that system. I don't believe that most people do that. For a pregnancy care center, I could say that we care just as much about that woman and the man, if he's also involved in that, which we hope that he is, and he wants to be a father to that child, and we support them. And so what we do is we actually provide them numerous resources, depending on their needs. We have about 125 resources that we would, depending on what their needs are, whether that's financial or that's, you know, healthcare or that's prenatal care or that's, you know, even all different kind of education, all kinds of stuff, drug addiction programs, housing. There's all kinds of things that we can help connect them with to help them become successful parents if that's what they want to do, is actually be a parent to this child. And if it's not, we have adoption resources available. And you're right in that when we have a child that comes up for adoption and we connect them to adoption agency, we are not an adoption agency, so I don't want to get anybody confused on that point. But we have multiple adoption agencies that we can utilize so that that woman can decide, you know, if she wants an open, closed adoption, how, you know, she even gets a say in who's going to adopt her child. We look at adoption as a very courageous decision. It's not, you know, we have this negative kind of idea, I think, of people who make an adoption plan for their child, like they're giving their child away. And we hear that a lot, that I could abort my baby, but I could never give my child away to somebody else. And that is, unfortunately, a cultural thing that we've, you know, it's a beautiful thing to give your child a chance at a beautiful life when you really don't feel like you can provide that for them. That is selflessness. I've actually adopted a child myself, and I'm in the process of adopting another. And it's not because that was our goal, was to adopt children. We're foster parents, and we just wanted to be here for children who need care. And you're right, there are a lot of children in the foster system and children that need to be adopted, but it's not for lack of adoptive resources. Parents that want to adopt, even infertility. Sorry, I can't think of that word. Infertility is on the rise, and more people are not able to have children these days. So adoption is a huge and wonderful resource that they're looking to for that.
Well, and you mentioned that, you know, looking at the, you know, what's going to be best for the child. And we do have this kind of artificial line we've drawn in society that magically the womb confers these magic things to this child that, well, now I can't give it away because that's my own child, but I could have killed it 2 minutes ago before it crossed through. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but that's a line that exists in our society, in our minds. But you mentioned infertility. I think that's the thing that people have to look at here, is look at the other side of it. If you have anyone in your life that's struggled with infertility, you know how devastating it can be to try and have a child and not be able to have a child. And well, we just saw in the news just yesterday, I think, that is it Chrissy Teigen, I believe, who's and now I'm forgetting her husband's name, who was a singer, and they just lost a child and they're devastated. And we think of, you know, we think of celebrities and we kind of think, you know, they don't care about this stuff. They do care about this stuff. We all care about these things. And the amazing gift that you're giving, you know, it's like almost like giving an organ to save someone's life. The gift that you give when you say, I can't take care of this child, but I can make someone else's dreams come true. And in doing that, I'm giving my child the best chance at a wonderful life. You know, we forget that there's two sides of that transaction, if you want to call it that. It's a little cold, but that's not what I don't mean it that way. But, you know, there's two sides to that story.
You're right. Yeah. And, you know, just getting back to, you know, those patient appointments, you're right about over 50% of all pregnancies are unplanned, even, you know, as people get older and they're married. And there's oftentimes, you know, people think like, oh, well, if you're married and you're 30 something years old or whatever, like you wouldn't come come up to that issue with, you know, not wanting a child, you know, but that's not the case. You're absolutely right. People think, oh, wow, I'm really too old to start over again with another child or something. And so it's just a beautiful thing that we get to really support them, connect them with resources when they give them the truthful information. Because a lot of what you're talking about as far as that child being in the womb and feeling like it's okay to abort the child, but I wouldn't give my child up, is also oftentimes based on a misconception that that child isn't a baby. It's just a blob of tissue, as the abortion industry would call it, or products of conception, right? And that's not true. Also, and so when we get to show them a window into the world of their womb, which is through ultrasound, amazing, powerful tool, statistics show that around 74% of women, without, you know, just having that vision, that being able to see that, will choose life for their baby who were originally abortion minded, because they see, wow, it's got fingers, it's got toes, it's my baby. This is a baby living inside of me. So we believe that we don't coerce, we don't judge, we don't give them scary pictures of aborted babies or anything like that. We just give them the facts and we support them.
You're not pro-life activists.
We're not.
You're pro-life. You live pro-life. Mm-hmm. That I think that there's a distinction there because let's face it, any issue there is out there, there's always the fringe element that I, as I say, ruins it for everyone else. We see it in Christianity all the time. We have, you know, you have the Westboro Baptist Church people that are doing awful things as far as I'm concerned. Well, they're considered Christians. Well, you're messing it up for the rest of us. You're making us look bad. And so you have those elements with any cause. You have fringe elements that, and so I'm trying to make that distinction that the people that run the pregnancy care center, obviously they're pro-life, but they're not activists. They're not scaring women. They're not, you know, we can leave social media to take care of that kind of garbage, but that's not what's happening here at your center.
No, we just want to, you know, care for them, love them unconditionally. Again, we care just as much about that woman and man as we do about that child. And so we really want to come around them and get them the support and resources that they need when they need it. And part of that too is through our Pathways Parenting program. So if I can move on to that.
Yeah, definitely.
We, you know, we actually do have a parenting program, and we have two classes actually. They're both 10 weeks long as far as the subjects that we instruct on. And one is called Pregnancy 101, and then the other one is Empowered Parenthood. And those, you know, women and men, we're getting more guys coming to those, which is awesome, because it takes both, you know, to be really successful parents. You need, it's ideal if you have both. That's not always the case. And that's unfortunate when the mother has to raise that child alone. But when the guy is involved, it's very helpful. And so we get to take them through a lot of different subjects like postpartum, breastfeeding, childbirth, all kinds of things through Pregnancy 101. And they're actually taught by experts in the community. So they're doctors, they're chiropractors, they're, you know, nutritionists, they're people that actually have degrees in these fields that are coming in as volunteers, who we're so thankful for, and teaching them about these important subjects, getting them ready to bear that child. And then Empowered Parenthood, we're talking more about other subjects that will also help them to become an effective and successful parent, like home and financial management, even things like that that you wouldn't necessarily think about as like parenting classes. But we all know that, you know, being able to manage your home and financials well, and having some tools to be able to do that, is going to help a lot. And a lot of people going into parenthood, just they don't have a lot of those tools. I know I didn't, you know. So I think even for those that are happily pregnant, oftentimes it's very helpful to have some of those tools.
Yeah, I, too many of us, and I'll put myself in that category, we go into parenthood pretty blindly sometimes. Yeah. And financially, that's not necessarily the best idea, but we all make it through. But it's a lot easier if you have resources like you're offering there. So when we were talking about, you know, the dealing with the women when they're pregnant. Now, we were talking about the classes that you offer. Do you offer medical services? services also for those women? I mean, do they do they make regular visits while they're pregnant there, or is that done through a separate doctor? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So after we've done that initial UPT, urine pregnancy test, confirmation, an appointment, and then they're meeting with a licensed nurse and a patient advocate, and they're having that appointment, we're really looking through, you know, what how are they feeling? How are they doing? And we get to connect them with resources. We ask if we could pray for them even. And then we have that second appointment, typically the ultrasound appointment. Sometimes that follows directly. Sometimes it's scheduled out a little bit, depending on how far along they are. That's kind of where our care, as far as medically speaking, ends. We do follow-up calls and see how they're doing, but we want to get them prenatal care. We're not the place to kind of keep going to be able to go through the whole pregnancy. We want to connect them with local physicians. And if they don't have insurance or whatever, if they don't have established care, we want to help connect them with that so that they can get that for that baby. Because there's a lot of other things that will go into making sure that that baby is healthy through that, you know, through the three trimesters there. A lot of our Pathways clients, though, they do come from the medical side as far as patients who have gone through and they've learned about Pathways through that, and they've chosen to carry and parent their child. And so now they're going to, you know, they want to get more equipped through that. So, but not all. Sometimes we even have other organizations in the community and that refer to our parenting programs. And so we get people who've never been a patient with us but are interested in getting equipped in that way. And they also get to earn all kinds of stuff through our baby boutique. I think you're familiar with that.
Yeah, we talked about that last time about, you know, being able to I forget exactly how it works, but they're able to get things that they need, baby items and stuff like that, you know, by, I guess it's when they attend, when they're attending certain courses or whatever,
the classes.
So then they get some credits. You know, my daughter actually had gone to a care center, I think in Medford, and was able to get some items when she had her first child. And that's kind of how I became aware really of centers like yours. And, you know, and so from there, we've had you in here, but, it's, so are there any other programs that we haven't talked about?
Just one other. So we have Journey, and that is actually our post-abortion recovery program. So, you know, again, like here's, we tackle it from all angles in the sense that, you know, from a really try to be a Christian perspective, a real Christianity, and that, you know, even if someone has had an abortion experience, maybe that was their own abortion, maybe it was their grandchild who's been aborted, maybe they put pressure to have their grandchild or someone aborted, but they've been experienced with that, with abortion in some way, you know, there's still healing and forgiveness and everything from that. And we don't want people to just live in that. We love them too. And they're not the enemy, you know? And so we just really get to come around them if they ever experience regrets related to that decision, which maybe some people maybe never will, but if they do and they regret that decision and they feel, you know, just the how that impacted them negatively, then we, you know, we go through a 14-week, it's a Bible study, so it's all biblically based, because only, I believe only God can really provide that forgiveness. Well, I know that he can. He's the only one who can for even something that serious, you know, as taking a child's life in that way. And so it's just a wonderful thing. And they really come through that with transformation typically. And really, we've had people even come to know the Lord for the first time through that program. And so we really just want to be there for them as well.
Yeah. And last time you were here, we talked to Lisa McLeese Kelly, and she has a story along those lines. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening and this is of interest to you, or maybe you're somebody in that situation and you don't really know where to turn, you can go back. I believe it would have been about this time, October of 2018. Go back in my archives. You can find those at 943thebridge.com. Click on the audio tab, click on Rogue Talk, and go back to the last time John was here with me and we talked to Lisa. And Lisa was actually one of the speakers at the gala that year, and she has her own story, and I think it would be helpful if excuse me, if, you know, if this is something that you're dealing with, to hear from someone else who has also mm-hmm. been dealing with it. And Lisa's, you know, is brave, very brave. Well, in fact, Lisa first was on my show, was the first time publicly that she said that she was going to be kind of going into that ministry, so to speak, of helping people that are dealing with something that she had to deal with herself. And I was very touched by that she trusted me enough to make that public statement here. But then she came back and told the story when John was here the last time. So go back and look that up. I think it would be helpful if you're or someone you know is in that situation and they don't know where to turn, there are resources, and that's exactly what you've been talking about. So let's kind of move to the gala then, because that's what we're here to promote. Now, 2 years ago, I was able to go. It was a wonderful night. I mean, I ran into people there that I didn't know would be there. In fact, I was at Lisa's table that night, and it was a great night, great speakers. But unfortunately, we've had to go to the online. Let's kind of start with your primary speaker for the gala this year, because she has her own unique abortion story. So let's talk about why she's the speaker, and then we'll kind of go from there to promote when it is and what it's all about and how you can be a part of it.
Yeah. So, well, she's the speaker because we actually had a whole nother program planned out this year, and that was all derailed from COVID and like so many other things this year. And, instead of just taking that same program and trying to make it a virtual event, we thought, you know what, we will carry that over to 2021 and we'll look at, well, Ashley was the one I was looking at because she's pretty familiar with being in a virtual kind of format, and she has an amazing story, and quite frankly, as someone oftentimes, it would probably be out of our budget to bring here in a live event, so it was really nice to be able to just have her record a video to be able to do this, and she does a fantastic job. But who she is the star of the recently released, it was last year, that Unplanned came out. And Unplanned is about the true life story of Abby Johnson. And Abby Johnson was a Planned Parenthood clinic director for some time. And after seeing an actual abortion take place, realized, just the gravity of that's a child and that's being killed there, and became a strong pro-life advocate for the unborn. And so Ashley played her in the movie,
and it's Ashley Bratcher. Yep. See, I knew I was going to mess that up, so mm-hmm. my apologies, Ashley. But yeah, I want to make sure people knew who we were talking about, because I actually haven't seen Unplanned, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit that, because that would be a movie I would definitely be interested in seeing, and now I'm going to have to see it. So, but I do know the story behind it, and Ashley has her own mm-hmm. a bit of an abortion story, and without giving away what her speech is going to be about, she's got a little connection to this too that she didn't realize until she joined up with the movie.
That's right. Yeah. As she was going through this, she got a call from her mother. And I don't want to spoil it, but
yeah. I'm not putting you on the spot. Let's not spoil anything for the event.
It's a great story though. And I really encourage people to watch this. They can view it from home. They can also join a watch party. We have over 50 watch parties in and around the community that are happening. And those are smaller get togethers, that are in line with even COVID restrictions, to be able to still get together with people. For those that love to come out every year and go to these events and have dinner, they can still do that with their friends. They could even host a watch party if they want. There's watch parties at churches that can have larger gatherings, and then there's watch parties in just homes. But basically, it's going to be less than an hour as far as a video. We reduced everything in size this year so that we're not asking people to sit in front of their computer screen screen or TV for longer than an hour, but it's going to be really impactful. There's testimonial videos from real patients and people that we've that the Pregnancy Care Center has served, and I just, you know, I can't stress it enough. I know it's one more video that people are watching. Everybody's done these Zoom calls and everything this year, but this one is one that they're not going to want to miss.
Yeah, I found out recently how important streaming events are. I actually had some live sports to broadcast for the first time since February, I think. And the instant feedback, the company I work for streams through YouTube, and I've never been involved with something where there was so much instant feedback commenting on YouTube. I mean, every time there was a glitch or there was a problem, we knew about it. But it was, what it showed me is it was important to these people. This happened to be high school age kids playing baseball, and these are top level players. These are like the best of the best from three different states. But the parents that couldn't make the trip to the tournament were glued to our broadcast, and it made me realize how important all this technology is, with, like you said, the Zoom calls, Zoom meetings, and online, you know, learning. And I mean, all the kids here in Oregon are basically, they're, most of them aren't going to school yet. They're doing it online. So you guys have found yourself in that same position. I think it sounds like you've done a really good job with it. I love the idea that you've kind of condensed it a little bit to keep the interest, because as we know, you know, streaming media, there's so many things out there that, you know, a 2 hour long program might have been a bit much for people to stick with, just because we're in front of screens all day long. And it's unfortunate we can't get together, because like I said before, the event was that I went to 2 years ago was amazing. It was, you know, it's one of the I don't want to say funnest, but it's, I mean, one of the most important choices I've made in a long time of something to attend. And I was so happy I was there, and I made some new friends there, you know, just because I found people that I had no idea would be there. Of course, you know, Pastor Gigline from the church here, he was there at another table, and I knew right up before that, but when we connected and Lisa came in, I had no idea that, you know, Evan was going to be going and I would be there at a different table. So it's just a neat thing. And so it's really unfortunate that we can't do it. And that's why I really wanted to have you here, because I know this has got to be a challenge for you. How do you do a fundraiser when you're used to putting on, and I don't say it's easy to put on a big event. It's not, but this is a whole different set of challenges, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's funny to think that, you know, as we're kind of making a lot of this up as we go along, and I think by the grace of God, we've done it pretty well. I mean, we haven't seen any huge snafus. I mean, there's a few things that you look back and you're like, yeah, I probably would have said that a little different or something. But basically, it's come together really well. It's launching soon. And to think that we did all that work, and hopefully it's only for 1 year, and we can get back to an in-person setting next year, because, yeah, the value of just being able to rub shoulders with people is so important. But we're really hopeful that, especially with the watch parties, and that's been huge. People have really, I've been amazed by how many watch parties are happening. That's really been a cool thing. There hasn't been quite as many attendees watching from home as we expected so far, but a lot of watch parties happening, which is awesome. So I think it's going to be successful. It is launching October 8th it'd be Thursday, October 8th. So next week at 6 p.m., that's when the video is going to become available. That's when watch parties are starting up, and we're, you know, we call it an October 8th, 9th, and 10th event, because we really would love people to make the intentional, you know, effort to just view it that weekend, because it's so important. And if it's just available forever, then, you know, oftentimes we just kind of, oh, I'll do it later, and we forget about it. But the video will be available for viewing after that. But we really hope that people will host or join a watch party, or at least watch it from home on one of those days, October 8th, 9th, or 10th. And again, it will become available at 6 p.m. on Thursday, October 8th. But they have to register to get the link to be able to view the video. So,
okay. And yeah, I've got that here. You can go to gppregnancy.com/gala, and I will put a link on the show notes so that people can click through to it if you can't write it down there. And if you have any other questions, you can call the center. That number is 541-479-6264. And if you're on social media, there is a Facebook page for the Pregnancy Care Center. There's a link to the event there. You can go through that link to register as well. There's a lot of ways to get a hold of him, but I would definitely, second what John's saying about make it an appointment for yourself. Make it, whether it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, pick one of those nights and make it an appointment to watch it at a certain time. Because as you know, well, I didn't actually do that with the movie Unplanned, but it is something that it's like, oh yeah, I need to watch that. And here we are, I don't even know how long that movie's been out, and I still haven't watched it. So make it an appointment. Make sure you do it. It's important. You're under no obligation to give. There's no cost to register. Mm-hmm. But since we're mentioning that and we're running out of time, what are the ways that people will be able to donate? Because that is what the gala is about. It's a fundraiser.
That's right. Yeah. So there's a number of ways. We try to make it as flexible as possible while trying to still be simple, but they can give online through our website. So if they're watching the video on our website, which they'll get the link after they register, right below that is a donate button. They could click that. There's a few different options of, different ways to donate. They could donate through PayPal, or they could donate through our internal system there, which is all very safe and secure. They can also mail their check. They can make a pledge. There's a pledge button, and they could just click that and say, I'm going to do this. And we'll always send a reminder if they forget about that. But so there's a number of ways. They could even call our center. We're going to have tech support available on those 3 days as well, so they can call. And if they want to give over the phone, we can also take it over the phone. So
yeah, excellent. And I like the pledge idea, because I know being at the event, we were prepared. We knew we were going to be giving when we went to the event. But I think a lot of people get invited to something like that and don't think about that. Oh, I don't have a way to give tonight. And you can make a pledge and take care of that later, and make sure you follow through so that they don't have to chase you down. And obviously you're under no obligation. It's charity, you're giving, but if you make a pledge, you need to follow through. So I would encourage people to do so. Again, even for our more secular listeners, yes, it's a Christian organization, obviously, and yes, they are a pro-life, they live pro-life, but there's a lot of important resources available at that center, and I guarantee you there are people that aren't as Christian, I put up the big air quotes, aren't as Christian as maybe the people that are there that still have come in and taken advantage of the resources. And the resources are important regardless of how you feel about God or how you even feel about abortion. The center is the perfect first step for someone who is pregnant and doesn't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And, I'm sure there's people that have walked away from your clinic that have gone to get an abortion, but obviously that's not what you're hoping the outcome is. But again, it doesn't matter where you're at on this. This is an organization that is doing great things for our community. It's taking care of mostly young women that are feeling scared and that need a place to turn. And so give some money to keep this going. Quickly, we've gone way longer, and it's going to change the way the show breaks up today, but that's okay, because we're all locked in our houses. I don't have much else to talk about. But you were mentioning some numbers to me off the air, and it kind of hit those really quickly about how many babies are born in Josephine County and how many of them you know, how many people you end up seeing, because the numbers of the unplanned pregnancies that are showing up in your center was actually a pretty high percentage, and that puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, so since the last gala, in the last 365-day period, we've served 285 patients, and those women were provided 282 pregnancy tests, and that includes nurse consultations, and 225 ultrasound appointments, so more than 500 appointments there. And, you know, the numbers of those who are pregnancy, or actually, I think the birth rates are a little bit easier to come by, but they've been declining nationwide, but also here in Josephine and Jackson County. And my numbers are going to be a couple years old, because you never have those kinds of numbers so you know, that are so fresh. But from what I recall, it was somewhere around a little over 700 births, I believe, and that might have been like a 2018 number. I haven't looked at it for a while, so pardon me if I'm a little off, but it was somewhere right around there. And so the fact that we're seeing 285 patients is pretty great, considering that around 50% of those are unplanned, the pregnancies rather. And so we're seeing a lot of the unplanned pregnancies. We do see people who are trying to become pregnant, and they come to us, and that's great. We want to be the place for anybody to come to who believes that they're pregnant. But the majority are those who are not planning to have a child. And so most of those patients that we're seeing, you know, they are unplanned pregnancies, and we're just really honored and grateful that they trust us enough to come to us, come through our doors, and we can just serve them unconditionally and really just, you know, just give them facts and information and resources and support. And most of that just comes from listening too. It's just someone to hear it. A lot of times they've told nobody, not even their parents. And so it's a great opportunity to be able to listen to that, hear how they're feeling about all of this, and support them.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I want to tell people, I think it's John that told me this, but I've heard that when people have had to shift to online for these fundraising events, that the average is about 25% of what they would normally bring in. Let's blow that out of the water for these guys. This is the longest segment I think I've ever done, in one segment. And I'm okay with that, because this is a cause I care about, and let's blow up that 25%. Let's push them closer to what they would normally make at a regular gala any other year. So watch this event again, October 8th, 9th, and 10th. It'll start becoming available on October 8th at 6 p.m. There are also DVDs available. Contact the center, but you only have, just do it right away. I mean, you know, finish listening to the show and then call and make that arrangement, because they will only be, they're sending them out, I think you said, on Monday. Mm-hmm. So you need to do that today. So if you would like the DVD, you need to get a hold of them right away. And did I miss anything else, John?
I don't think so. They can just RSVP again at gppregnancy.com/gala. Yep. Or call us.
Perfect. And again, I'll put a link on the show notes when I post it on the website. And the next segment will be very Rush Limbaugh-like. It'll be very quick. And John Mayer, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Center of Grants Pass, thank you so much for joining me on Rogue Talk.
Thank you.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House says President Donald Trump will spend a few days at a military hospital on the advice of his physicians after contracting COVID-19. Mr. Trump is to depart the White House by helicopter momentarily for Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. The White House said that the visit is precautionary, and that Mr. Trump will work from the hospital's presidential suite, which is equipped to allow him to continue his official duties. Earlier Friday, the White House said the president remains fatigued and had been injected with an experimental antibody drug combination for the virus that has killed more than 205,000 Americans and spread to the highest reaches of the U.S. government. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 134 points, the NASDAQ dropped 251, the S&P 500 lower by 32, oil dropped $1.67 to $37.05 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed,
giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Talk. And I once again want to thank John Mayer for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I know I did, and it's a really important cause. It's as I mentioned, it's tough to do fundraising in this unclear environment of COVID and COVID restrictions, and let's make this a big event for them. Let's really help them meet their goals. And I won't belabor the point, but it's a great organization, and they do a lot of great stuff over there. So let's help them out. So once again, starting at 6 o'clock Thursday, this coming Thursday, October the 8th, the video will be available. You do have to register. You can do that again at www.gppregnancy.com/gala. And if you want more information, you can do that. You can call the number 541-479-6264. And again, thank you, John, for bringing that to us so that we could promote it here on Rogue Talk. And that's going to do it. We again, as I mentioned, that's one of the longest single segments I've done, but we got it all in, and that's going to make this segment a little bit short. But thank you so much for joining us today, and everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.